You may be seated. You may be seated. It's a big God. He's a big God. He's a big God. And I want us to understand that there's nothing my God cannot do.
Come on now.
Right? Those songs were perfect. Those songs were perfect for what we're going to talk about in a minute. Because that first song says, through you, I can do anything. Come on, tell the Lord, through you, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So nothing is impossible. I love the phrase through you. What if, y'all know I do this all the time. You know, we say, through you, I can do anything, Lord. What if the Lord look at you and say, through you, I can do anything too? Come on, think about it. This is where mind renewal comes. This is when we change. This is when impossibilities become possible, when I change my mind about how I see it. What if God looks at you and say, through you, I can do anything? He's saying it. He's looking at you daily and saying, through you, I can do anything. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Many times we put our belief on external things and we need something to happen in our lives and we need something going. We're believing God for something. But he's really trying to say, do you believe me in you? Because through you, I can do anything. Come on, say it. Through me, God can do anything. I'll say it again, through me, God can do anything. Now say it again, but don't say it because you're just repeating after me. I want you to say it because you're saying it. All right, so we're going to say it again, but I want you to say it, not because I told you to say it, because I want you to connect some belief to it. Are y'all listening to me? Say, God, you can do anything through me. The first part of our vision here at Word of Life Christian Center, Evercrease and Word Ministries, God gave it to us. Our brother Duke gave a powerful message Tuesday night. I hope y'all were here. I hope y'all listened to it. Equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, the home of covenant winners. I want to reiterate that the home of covenant winners doesn't just mean you winning in your life or you winning your battles, but it's also winning souls. Matter of fact, it's winning souls first. A lot of times, the Lord shows me stuff and I just be looking for him everywhere. And, you know, for some reason, like my fingernails, and I look, your fingernails can be dirty sometimes. Anybody ever had dirty fingernails before? Okay, I'm the only person at Word of... Fingernails just get dirty. You don't know how they got dirty. It's just dirty. You ain't been in nobody's garden. You ain't been playing no sport. You just fingernails just got dirty. Probably got dirty because you're scratching your own skin because you know you be flipping, amen. But it's something about it. I noticed something yesterday. Something about it. When you get in the shower, you take a shower, whatever, without even paying attention to cleaning your fingernails, they get clean. You ever notice that? You don't even have to get the little file and little thing. Just without even paying attention to cleaning your fingernails, when you look up at the end, they're clean. Just because you went about doing whatever you're supposed to do in the shower. You're cleaning everything else you're supposed to clean, right? But without even paying attention, when you're done, the fingernails seem to be clean. Without you paying attention to it. And I'm sitting there in the Lord saying, he said, that's how manifestation works. He said, you've been focusing on the thing that you're trying to manifest too much. But if you get about doing what I want you to do, the fingernails will be clean and you won't even pay attention. You won't even have to spend time on that thing that you've been believing for. Are y'all listening to me? I know it's weird, I know it's quirky, but you are familiar with this. You won't even have to spend time. A lot of times there are things in our lives, people that are listening online, there are habits that we're trying to break and things that we're trying to overcome and we're trying to clean ourselves. But the word says, my son, you are clean through my word. So the cleaning takes process through the word, through you operating in the word and as the word, the cleaning takes place. What you focus on does what? What you focus on, say this, what I focus on expands. Say it again, what I focus on expands. I'm gonna say it again. What I focus on expands. And if I focus on the problem so much and trying to fix it, the problem only gets bigger. The lack or the deficiency only gets bigger. You say, well, I've been praying, I've been confessing, I've been sowing. Why did it get bigger? Because you've been focused on it. Because what you focus on. So now the first part of our vision is changing the lives of people with the word of God. Say it. This is what we have been commissioned to do. To change the lives of people with the word of God. But when we get down to the word of God, we're not just talking about what you're saying with your mouth. Because words are bigger than the audible sound that come out of you. Words are bigger than language. Words are bigger than the message or the rhetoric or the thing that you can say to somebody. Words must be alive. John 6:63 says, the spirit that quickeneth. You don't have to go there. The spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the words is Jesus talking. Now it's a red word. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That means they are breathed into. The word spirit in Hebrew means a breath, a wind. That means the breath of God. When you see the word spirit, it's talking about the breath of God. Being filled with the spirit is the breath of God. Being filled with God breathing in you just like in the beginning. Are y'all hearing me? So now the words that I speak, Jesus is talking. He said, I'm not just talking to y'all. That's why he would say, any man has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not just talking about your regular hearing. I'm not just talking to y'all. But the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That means they are breathed into, they are alive, and they bring life. They're not just on the paper. They're not just in our notes. But it's alive walking with us. It's alive walking as us. So when we begin to talk about changing the lives of people, with the word of God, right? Now you can have a concept of what that is. You can just say, it's just witnessing, right? And now I'm not saying just witnessing, but you can say, well, I just need to go tell people about Jesus. Well, do they see Jesus though? Truth of the matter is, if I'm changing the lives of people with the word of God, if that's what I'm commissioned to do, the scripture says a tree bears fruit after its kind. You don't plant orange seeds and get apples. If you plant an orange seed, what you getting? You plant an apple seed, what you getting? You don't get nothing else different. You can expect to receive apples when you plant apple seeds, right? And so I understand, I wrote this down in my note, that only changed lives change lives. I can't be asking somebody to change. If I ain't look, graduate past your day. It was my day. I remember my day when I walked to the altar. Graduate past that. That's gone. That's the past is gone. The present is here. The future is to come. No, I was changed. Are you changing? Are we consistently changing and being formed into the image of Christ? Ephesians 4 talks about he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Then he goes on to say in one of the phrases that stick out, that we may grow up into him in all things. And him, he's talking about Christ Jesus. That we grow up, we're consistently being transformed. We're consistently being changed. We are not stuck in our ways. We have not settled down. I hate the phrase, settle down. For what? Ain't nothing but dirt settled down in the water. Ain't nothing settled in the river. I think keep moving. I think keep pulling. Out of thy belly shall flow. Now we've got to hear these phrases. I know we've heard these phrases and we've quoted them scriptures up and down for our whole lives. But this stuff got to be real to us. Is there a river flowing out of you? Hold on right quick. I'm not talking about when you're praying in tongues. I'm not talking about when you think you're in the presence of God or you think you're at your most spiritual peak at the end of a certain part of the day. I'm talking about it, rivers don't stop. Rivers don't take a break. They don't stop. They don't. The river is not like your faucet at home. You know what rivers don't need also? Rivers don't need a pump. They used to pump them wells. In the river, you don't need a pump or a bucket. The river just flows. The river just flows. And the river, let me give a little science lesson real quick. The reason the river continues to flow is because it's coming from the mountain. What causes a river to flow is gravity. Or they call it pull. Well, where is this gravity coming from? Well, the same gravity that's keeping the earth on its axis and keeping us just far enough from the sun and just close enough to the sun where we don't freeze to death or burn to death, that same gravity that keeps us on our axis is coming from the inside of the earth. It's the core. Y'all better go to science class with me real quick. So because of the core, there's a God built this thing perfect. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is a big God. God has set this thing up. He set this thing up, and if you pay attention to what he made, you can be what he made. In the core, everybody say the core. In the core, there's a pull that goes on in the core that keeps the river flowing. So now on the inside of us, there's a pull and a flow. Y'all gotta hear what I'm saying. There's a pull and there's a flow. There's a divine pull of God that's on the inside of me that causes him to flow out from me. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if you heard me. But there's a divine pull of God on the inside of me that causes him to flow from me to everyone that I come in contact with. Because change lives, change lives. Say that, change lives. Come on, say it. Say change lives, change lives. Come on, look at your neighbor, tell them, change lives, change lives. I can't expect to go and change the lives of people with the word of God if they're only hearing something that I'm saying and not seeing who I'm being. Got the wrong one on the pulpit this morning. Rewind, slow down, Montreal. Listen, so watch this. I talk to myself sometimes. Watch this. So I remember years ago, I came to the earth at a certain time. I was born in 82. And I came to the earth in a certain time. It was a particular time in Apostle's life. And when I look back on it, it was a particular time. And at this particular time, my mother told me my first year of life, probably the first 1 or 2 years old, he had to stay home as like a stay-home dad with me. Because the Lord had told him to leave the job, you know, and go preach the gospel. So them first couple of years of my life, I'm sitting there in the living room with him watching Fred Price. Yeah. Evidence, dum 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 dum. Evidence. I knew the song up and down. I just Fred Price, Fred Price, Fred Price, Fred Price, Fred Price, Fred Price. Everybody else superstar was Michael Jordan. Mine was Fred Price. Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland. Right? John Osteen, you know, Jerry Savelle, Norval Hayes, Kenneth Hagin Sr., Kenneth Hagin Jr., all of them. I just was like, oh my goodness. So I'm sitting at home and I can remember the church would be full of people. Built that dome and it was full of people. And as I got older, I started realizing I would hear what's going on. The apostle would talk about it. He said those people would be walking around, the people going around, and they couldn't go nowhere without talking about their church. Couldn't go nowhere without inviting somebody to church because they were not just excited about their pastor at the time, Dr. Price, but they was excited about the faith that he was teaching them that was changing their lives. It was almost to a point where I can't thank God for the witness in that, but we should be blowing that thing. I can't not say nothing about what's going on. How can I go somewhere and keep my mouth closed because there's too much going on? If I don't tell somebody, I'll explode. And I remember happening out there, and it wasn't just happening in Los Angeles, California. Because I remember in downtown Darrow. Anybody ever been to downtown If you've been to downtown Darryl, let me see the Seasoned Saints real quick. Anybody been to downtown Darryl? If you've ever been to downtown Darryl, I wish I could have made it into a museum or something so you could just walk through and been in the office and everything, seeing how he was and seeing where we were. Because you don't appreciate where you come from until you see where you come from. You don't appreciate where you're at. And I can remember down in Darryl, we down. I mean, those of y'all that know, you know, we down in Darryl. And you're not going to find this church. Ain't no with no Google Maps. No GPS, no Siri, no none of that. Wasn't no look it up, put the address in and follow the map. Well, you're going to find this or follow somebody. Or you catch somebody in the road with a suit on and say, they must be going the way I'm going. But I can remember the same thing happening. We're down in the town, 300, 400 people, and the church, 500 people. And it's not a lot of people in the area coming to the church. The Lord gave Apostle a word. Some of y'all remember, he said, I call them from the east, west, north, and south. He said, I'll buy them cars and put gas in them. We ain't talking about no gas prices. I can't hear y'all. I bet not hear. I bet not hear. Listen, I can't speak for everybody else. I cannot speak for somebody else's members, Doug. I can't speak for nobody else. But you know who I can speak for? I can speak for Word of Life in this house. I bet not hear one person complaining about, ooh, gas ain't going up. Go up then. If the gas go up, go up. Y'all ain't hear me. Y'all ain't hear me. Y'all ain't hear me. Y'all ain't hear me. I'm about to go sit down. Let me go take my mic. If the gas go up, go up. It's just gas. Say it, it's just gas. And not only that, my God is big. But then my God is big enough to give a word. He said, I'll buy them cars. Here's the thing about that word. That word is not a word that stops. It's not. He didn't say, I'm going to do it in 1995. No. When he says it, the word is the preceding word. It keeps coming. I don't know if you know that about God's word. When God says something, that word keeps coming. Like the river, yeah. It keeps coming. So when he says, I'm gonna buy them cars and put gas in it, and they'll be glad to drive. Hold God at his word. You say, God bless everybody, church members and everything. I don't know what he told them. But I know what he told us. Yeah. And so if he told us that, then I got to get him like, listen, God, you told me you're going to buy a car and put gas in it. And I'm going to be glad to drive. Yeah. So I'm glad to drive. Yeah. And I got this car. This, because if the gas go up, go up.
Good teaching.
I received the glass. If the gas go up. Next time you look at that tank, you go to that thing and everybody else talking all that noise. Don't you agree with them people? Well, you know it sure is. Nobody don't care. If the gas go up, go up. And somebody's, watch this, I'm getting ahead of myself, but somebody's going to be at that gas tank sweating. I receive it. So they're going to be at that gas tank sweating. And they're going to look and say, why are you not sweating? I know y'all ain't hearing me. We talking about witnessing, huh? Yeah. God, the Father through you is trying to make your witnessing easy. Yeah. Remember, Jesus makes a statement. He said, come unto me, all y'all that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, on you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He's trying to say, because I'm low, I'm lifted. Because I'm so low, I'm high. So because I'm so low, I'm so high, so it don't matter which way the gas price go. Because I'm already up. Say, I'm already up. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm already up. He said, I'm meek and lowly, all you find rest for your soul, for my yoke is and my burden is. He's trying to make your witness easy. You know why? Because you ain't got to tell them if they could tell. This is what I'm saying to you. If I could tell, I'll look at you and tell. Can somebody tell? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I can tell they've been in the gym. I can tell they've been doing this. I can tell you've been outside running. I can tell by what I
see.
Come on, y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. I can tell by what I see. That doesn't mean you don't still use your mouth, because that's part of the conversation. The root word of conversation. Y'all know what the root word of conversation is? It's converse. Don't tell nobody you conversating no more. You know, people say, we've been conversating. That ain't a real word. Let's do some little English class. We didn't went to all the school science. Now we in English class. Conversating is not a word. I just want you to remember that, okay? The word is converse. We've been conversing. But the word converse, if you really look it up, it means change.
Yeah.
Come on. Your conversation should be change. But your conversation is not, I took a little Spanish, about this much. Got out of the class. There's a word con in there, C-O-N, and it means with. And I understand a lot of English language is a rather young language. We took a bunch of people, other languages, and put that stuff together, and we called it English, that we think we're better than everybody else. Amen. But it comes from Latin and Spanish. And converse. Conversation. Converse, that means with verse. That means it's with the verse. It's changing with the verse.
Yeah.
But not just the verse. The verse is short for version.
Yeah.
No. Y'all better hear me. That's cool. Listen. The word verse is a root word, a short for version.
Right.
You know you have different versions of something?
Yeah.
Like you have the King James. Right? And the New International. Right? It's all the same Bible, but a different
verse.
It's the same God, but a different version. God is the same, and you come from him, you're just a different
version. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, you thought conversation was what you're saying out your mouth? No, you are the conversation. If a converse means change, then there's a version, and it's with this version, then that means that as I begin to speak, I become the conversion for the person. Listen to what I'm saying. I become the change in the lives of people with the word of God. John chapter 1. Go ahead, put it up there. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Verse 2. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Let me look at my Bible. I look at myself, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to look for yourself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I don't know all these people talking about they creatives. Where? In him was, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jump down to verse 14. I ain't looking for nothing to say. I'm just waiting for it to hit you.
Yeah.
Same word he's talking about in verse 1.
Yeah.
That was with God. It was in the beginning. It was with God. And it was God. So immediately, the word of God has moved from an inanimate object or something that doesn't move or just an object to a being.
Yeah.
To a person. Everybody say to a person. See, I love the book of John, because he starts taking God and making him personal.
Yes. Yeah.
See, if you throw paper at me, you're gonna get paper thrown back at you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you can Go and witness to somebody. You start telling them about Jesus. They start telling you what they think. Y'all know I ain't the only one that didn't happen to. They start telling you what they think. Well, this is what I believe. Well, this is what I, because you're throwing words. So you're reaping words. But you can't talk to me about something that you see. Nicodemus come to Jesus on John chapter 3. He come to Jesus and they ain't really wasn't fooling with Jesus because Jesus was doing stuff that they wanted to do. Or doing stuff that just freeing the people. And what people don't understand about Jesus was messing up all of their industries. He messed up the food industry, the politics. He messed up the healthcare. He out here healing people with no medicine. What you talking about? Y'all gotta see what industry, the food industry. You don't think? They was like, man, he making wine. What about we selling wine? He making it out of water. We gonna lose our business. He catching fish with money in their mouth and paying taxes. If they do that, ain't nobody gonna go to work no more. He's messing up them industries. Gotta pay attention to what he's doing. Talking about Jesus messing up the industry. Hold on. What was said before Jesus messed up the industries? Y'all remember? It don't matter. And the word was made flesh. And was alive. Dwelt means he was in the hood. He was right there where we are. He said he dwelt among us. Right? He didn't dwell above us or around us. He said the word was made flesh. And dwelt and lived next door to you. Listen, he was walking the same. He's in the office with you. That's what I see when I see dwelt among us. He wasn't somewhere off giving a word. I appreciate the epistles. I appreciate all the epistles when Paul was writing the letters. I appreciate it. But he had to write them letters from a distance. And that was because of what he was called to do. He had to go to different places. So he was writing these letters from a distance. But Jesus was the letter in your midst. He was the living letter. In the midst. It says, and dwelt among us. And what's the next line? And we beheld his glory. What does it mean to behold something? What does it mean to behold something? The basic way to say it is we saw it. We saw his glory. We saw it and we beheld it. Beheld is a much, he could have said, and we saw his glory too, but it's not just seeing, it's be and hold. You ever held something? Have you ever held something? You're holding something right now. You got your Bible or your phone or something. You're holding something, right? I be and I hold it. Yeah, I behold it. I hold what be. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Got to get with me. Come on. I hold what be. Yeah. See, are we beholding Jesus? He was asking the whole church, do you know him? Do you know?
That's all right. I love
it. Are we beholding him? Do we hold? Are we containing? Do we hold what be? Now, I'll answer that for you. Yes, we do. But if your mind doesn't understand that you do, then as he thinketh, so is he. You have everything that pertains unto life and godliness right there on the inside of you. But if you do not believe, all things are impossible. Lord. It almost seems impossible to say that all that God is on the inside of me. Say it. Say it again. See, I learned that from Dr. Price and I learned that from Apostle Thomas. Say it again. But it almost seems impossible, especially when you dealt with some things that seem like they whooped you. Or you've dealt with some failure in your life. Or have you dealt with some attack. Or you've dealt with some things that seem to have pulled you in the direction opposite of what God wanted you to go. We dealt with some abuse in our lives. We dealt with some hurt and some depression. And some things that wasn't fair. I don't know where I'm going right now, but I'm going there. Some things. And so what happened? These things that happened to us, it's a trick of the enemy. These things that happened begin to try to mold an identity in us. You ever had a cut on your hand or something? You ever had a cut on your hand or something was hurting or whatever? Don't touch me. Don't touch that. So now you start jacking. But that ain't your natural motion. But it's because of the injury that you get jumpy. It's because they don't touch me right now. Because of the injury. And so now the injury has become your identity. The shortcoming has tried to mold itself to make you think you just shortcoming. The failure tries to make you think that you are a. Because if I could ever get you to not know who you are, you'll never change the lives of people with the word of God that you are. I get you to think that you're a failure, but the word of God doesn't say that you're a failure. Right? I get you to think that you're just abused, but the word of God doesn't say that you're abused. Are y'all understanding me? The word of God says other things about you. It says who you are in Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? On the inside of me. Jesus prayed and said, Father, I pray that they be one as we are one. So when I jump on this all the time, Jesus will say these things. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Well, see, I'm trying to get you to deny that self.
Yeah.
That is living as a failure.
Yeah.
Because you might have failed before.
Yeah.
Or that is a living with that thing that happened to you so long ago. And trying to overcome your identity to where you don't look like the word of God. The trick of the enemy. It's the trick of the enemy. I'm gonna show you something real quick. We don't embrace. We rebuke more than we embrace. And we rebuke more than we go through. We resist more than we answer the temptation. When Jesus gets led into the wilderness, the Spirit of God led him in there. God led him to a temptation? No, lead me not into temptation. I'm praying that hard, huh? You understand why Jesus prayed that now, right? He don't go in there and say, I rebuke you. Ah, throwing holy water. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, devil. No, he deals with it. And everything that the enemy says to him at that moment is trying to take him out of the identity. If thou be the Son of God, what you mean, if thou be? Don't come at me with that foolishness. Sometimes the things of life come at you like that, right? Well, ain't you a Christian? Don't you serve Jesus? Then you say, my God is big. Don't question me. You talk to her like you talk to your children. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Who you talking to? Don't question me, because I said so. Come asking me if I be the Son of God. I am the Son of God. Say it. Come on, say, I'm a daughter of God. I understand. I'm a daughter of God. Come on. Say, I am.
I am.
If I be, then do this. Turn the rock. Rock ain't supposed to be bread. If bread was supposed to be rock, and rock was supposed to be bread, God have made it that way. Don't be asking me to try to do no magic trick because you questioning who I am. I would hear these people talking about, we got to show that God is a big God. You ain't got to show nothing. Look outside. God told me the other day, he said, see, you're trying to be thankful for what's coming. You're not thankful for what is.
Yeah.
Breathe in. Lord have mercy. Lord, if I ain't have that.
Yeah.
And that heart right there. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Ain't nothing y'all doing. Y'all up here, y'all can pay attention because your heart working. Your heart is doing this job so that you can pay attention to what's going on. And you're breathing, and the blood flowing. See, a lot of things that we're dealing with, a lot of things we're dealing with in our health, right? Right, right? It's because we don't know who we are. We're beautifully and wonderfully made. Because we know who we are, those things begin to work. And it starts to tell the other part of the body that's not working, you're doing the wrong thing. Whoa, whoa, your body parts will start witnessing to the other ones. I can't make this up. I can't make this up. This is what I'm saying. We working, so you work. And it'll bear fruit after its kind. Y'all better hear me. It'll bear fruit after its kind. If thou be the Son of God. Who gives you the right to question me in the first place? You check them like, who told you can ask me who I am? Jesus' highest moment was when he was getting beat. We're going to take communion this morning. And the greatest moment of Jesus and his identity was when he was getting whooped. Then the man say, he said, y'all said that. We gonna kill you. Y'all can't take my life, I'm giving it. When I give my life, it takes the power away from the murderer. The thief coming out but to kill, steal, and destroy. But when I give my life, you can't take nothing I already gave. I'm gonna take it from you. I gave it already, now what? I'm gonna say a secret. Your fighting away, your struggling in faith is giving the energy to the thing that's pulling you. To every, we are all up in science class again. To every force, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Yeah. Right? So the more you pull you talk about quicksand, the more you fight to get out of it, the more it pull you in. And you keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. I know the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. I understand, but the red words didn't say that. No. Jesus wasn't fighting nothing. Jesus walked up to the demons and they started asking him what to do.
Yes, sir.
You can fight if you want to. I'll be like Christ. A lot of your fighting is pulling you further in. You ever felt like that before? Can I get an amen? Y'all don't want to answer me. Ever felt like it before? Can I get an amen? I'm fighting and fighting and fighting. I'm praying. I'm quoting. I'm manifesting. I'm quitting. I'm saying it. And I'm going deeper. Shut up. No, but I got to confess. Shut up.
Come on, Doc.
Jesus. Well, I got to put my word out there on it. Be quiet. Because a lot of times we begin to yell in fear. We begin to yell and say things because we don't really know who we are. Change lives. Changed lives. So I have to begin with my life being a change. Like, don't nobody, I gotta say it again, y'all. Bravo, you don't drink no more. Come on. I'm trying to clap for you so we can get over it. Bravo, you ain't in the club. Come on, clap. Bravo that you ain't tricking no more. Bravo that you being faithful now. Y'all don't want to clap. Y'all better clap for your. You'll have your reward. Bravo that you ain't whatever under the whole list of vile, whatever thing that you think is the worst thing in the history of the world. Amen. God. Oh. Can we move on? I was sleeping in my house, I had some friends over. My friend told me, I said Hebrews 6 in my sleep, so I went and looked at it. And it said that we move on from the elementary things.
Come on now. Thank you, sir.
Amen. And we move on.
Amen.
Amen. You know, okay, cool. Now what? What about today?
Yeah.
Stop telling that old stale story anyway. Need some fresh bread. Everybody say fresh bread.
Fresh.
Come on, say it again, say fresh bread.
Fresh.
Come on, say it again, say fresh bread.
Fresh.
There's one thing about that bread that fell from heaven when God was feeding the children of Israel out in the wilderness from heaven. Y'all know that story? If you don't know that story, go read it in Exodus. He was feeding them from heaven, the fresh manna. They call it manna, was falling from heaven. And they called it fresh for a reason. Fresh manna was falling from heaven, and he didn't let them gather it up and keep it for a snack later on tonight. You better eat while it's hot. And then it will start molding, and and the worms and stuff start eating it up, because I need you to expect the fresh for tomorrow. And if I allow you to stay with the stale of yesterday, then I can't do a new thing today. I don't care what happened yesterday. What have you done for me lately? Ooh, yeah. Today, there's some lives that are waiting and expecting to be changed by you today. You did not do God a duty by being here listening to me this morning. So this wasn't enough. Well, I done done my job for the day. I ain't got it. Okay, quit. This is a job you can't quit. How you quit being yourself? How you quit being who you are? How you turn that off? Oh, you can't turn it off, huh? That means on all the time, huh? That means you ain't got a moment in the day that I do it. People used to drive me so much about my devotion time. Well, what's the rest of the day? Yeah. If that's your devotion time, well, what is the rest of the day? Right. If this is my special time with the Lord, and I understand you at home, you ain't at work, sometimes dealing with the people. I understand, but if that, what's the rest of it? Right. My life is a devotion.
That's right.
Amen. I don't turn this off.
That's right.
Say it, I don't turn this off. I want you to say it again. Say, I don't turn this off. Come on, say it again. Say, I don't turn this off. See, that river keep flowing.
That's right.
Because that river keep flowing, even when things come up and attacks come up that you don't know, it hit the river and just flowed on out. Because the river keep flowing.
Yeah.
In order for the river to keep flowing, I got to keep myself open.
Yeah.
I can't damn myself. Don't you go tell nobody I was cussing. Stop damning yourself.
Yeah.
You're damming up the river,
yeah,
and you're putting a blockage up,
yeah,
and your flow is going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wow. It's diverting your flow. What is it in your life that's damming your river?
Come on, Jesus.
That's diverting your flow another direction.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, deny yourself. When I get to deny myself, I empty myself empty, and it starts to expose all the enemies.
Yeah. Come on.
It starts to expose the serpents in my soul. It starts to expose those little enemies that's been stealing from me. You tell the kids when they be eating fast, but they don't get it, you got tapeworm, right? Or the little viruses that be on the inside of them. What happens is you can eat all day long, but you seem like you're not getting full because that thing is taking the food from you on the inside of you. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. That thing that's on the inside of you is taking all your sustenance. Yeah, well, I'm eating what I'm eating. The thing is, Haggai, it says, consider your ways. He said, you eat. You're hungry and you eat, but you ain't never full. Consider your ways. What is going on? What is in the way? Something is in my way. I am the way. Say, I am the way. But something is in my way. Not in your path, in my way. You got to catch what I'm saying. Jesus said, the works that I do, you do also. So I'm the vine, you the branch. So what I am, you are. So if he's the way, say, I am the way. So if I am the way, if something is in my way, it's something in me. That's eating up everything. Sometimes it's mindsets. That you hear something like this, you hear a pastor come say something that'll jolt you loose, but it's eating up that thing. And before you know it, Monday, you're back to the same thing. Because that they call them a host. That thing is on the inside of you. And it's in there with his mouth open. For the nutrition can get to you,
yeah,
it then ate it up.
Yeah.
And it is only surviving off of you letting it live there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it don't move. It don't make a lot of ruckus. It ain't going to make no noise.
Yeah.
It's going to sit there right there quiet so it can get everything that's coming to you. So you got to die. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his. He's talking about the word suffering. That means it's not everything, oh, woe is me. No, you just got to go through some things sometimes. Right? And go through them. Because they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the... I don't know if you understand that statement. When he's talking about the blood of the Lamb, he's talking about your DNA. He's talking about your rights. He's talking about who you really are. He's talking about your real blood type. You have the blood of the Lamb on the inside of you. I know some people are online, it get a little weird. We got church talk. We talking about the blood of the Lamb. What kind of crazy stuff they talking about over there? Lamb blood. What are you talking about? No, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Comes from God the Father. We got the same DNA as God the Father. So because we have the same DNA as God the Father, we overcome by the DNA of God that we are. And then speaking that testimony out to others. Actually being that testimony, the word, John 1:14, put it back up there. The word, put it back up there on the screens. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. Don't tell me the glory in the room if I can't see it. Stop telling me the glory is in the room and I can't see it. Do y'all know in the Bible, the word glory really translates in Hebrew to wealth?
Yes.
This is Solomon and all his glory. There wasn't no fog. The presence of the glory. No, no. And we beheld his glory. We beheld the wealth that he is. Yeah. We beheld, now don't get caught up on money. It includes money and all that, but it's everything. Yeah. Well, I'm really wealthy. If I'm really wealthy, if it's really the wealth of God, then I'm healthy too. It all looks like God. Say it. It all looks like God. Say it again. It all looks like God. Come on, say it again. It all looks like God. And we beheld his glory. Can somebody behold your glory? And the answer is yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Say it again. Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes, they can behold my glory.
Come on, Jesus.
We gotta change my mind.
Yeah.
I gotta change my mind.
Yeah.
I gotta change my mind.
Change my mind.
Changing the lives of people begins with me changing my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It is not just, enough to pass out a pamphlet. Oh, y'all listen to me. They're great tools to use, but I should be able to read you. What you reading like? What you reading like? And I can't open your book and then see you lying to me. I read the pamphlet, then I look at your book. Now look at the pamphlet, I look at your book. I read the pamphlet, look at the book. Something adding up over here. Hold on. Carry the one. Hold on. Something not adding up. Right? Now this is a challenge for you to challenge yourself. Because the word changes lives of people. The word, what was the word of God? All that's in John 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word. Word, God. Word, oh God. And the word was made.
Come on, sir.
I'm trying to kill all the excuses.
Yeah.
About talking about you preaching the word. Oh, you gave somebody the word. Oh, I got a word for you. turn around, let me look at you, see if you got a word for me. There were that dog. I wrote this down. We used to invite people to church. Now I'm about to invite the church to people. Come, y'all come over here and hear my preacher, hear my apostle, hear my pastor. Boy, he preached good. Apostle I know, and Jesus I know. at some particular moments, we ain't got time to drag them to the church. At some particular moments, there's something that needs to happen right then. And that song, through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. It's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. That first song, through you. Got a couple scriptures I'm going to get to real quick. Matthew 16, the whole talking about who do men say that I am. He go there. Then Jesus started talking to him. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, but Jonathan, blessed blood is not revealed to thee, but my Father was heaven. And thou art Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. He's talking about the revelation of Christ. Yeah. Revelation of who he is. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. They call Jesus the cornerstone. Yeah. Are y'all listening to me? And he says, and the gates of hell... When the last time you seen some gates going down the interstate? Not never, because they don't do that. So if the gates ain't moving, but they can't prevail against us, that means we are moving. That means we are moving forward and progressing, and the gates that are trying to keep us out of the place of freedom for these people won't prevail against us. I need y'all to understand that we're mobile. Say, we're mobile. We're moving. Yes, invite people to church. Yes, tell them come here. Yes. Yes, do all that. But don't just do that. Because we are moving and there are people locked up in gates by gatekeepers. But the gates of hell should not prevail against you. Some of us don't even know if the gates gonna prevail or not because we hadn't even approached it. We haven't even went over there and shook the knees. I'm gonna give you the keys. You ain't got to climb the gate. You ain't got to shake it and try to force it. Look, I gave you the keys. Yoke is easy. Yeah. It's talking about, yes, inviting the church. But I'm about to invite the church to people. Today, I'm inviting the church to people. Put that camera on me right there. Put that camera around and look at y'all all online. Online, y'all see me Zoom. Y'all see me? Today, I'm inviting the church to people. Today I'm inviting you to be church wherever you are. The word church, I teach a class called Church Unusual. The word church comes from the word ecclesia. And I'm saying that ecclesia is ex, something comes out. And the way you define it is one's called by a name to carry a name. It says called out from an origin. They're called out from an original meaning, an original place, an original purpose to carry, they're called by name to carry a name. That's the church. An origin. God is waiting to express himself through you, and that's how he's going to do it. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. I'll get there quick. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the start. We've lived and come up with so many other things that we're supposed to be doing. And we come up with so many other rituals and so many other ways. But then we got the nerve to sing, let's get back to Eden, living on top of the world. I'm going to show y'all what Eden looked like. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, it's a word, sound like it, right? Sound like he's talking, huh? But he ain't just talking because in the next chapter, he saw how he said it. Yeah. That's how God talked. From the dust. Yeah. And he formed man and breathed into him. That's how God talked. Yeah. God talked with the actions. Actions speak louder than words. That's how God talked. Yes. He ain't just let up make man and man, poof, there go man. Well, he said he took his hands and formed him from the dust. Yeah. And molded him and then breathed into him and he became a living. So let us, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Are y'all looking at it? I'm putting my Bible over here. Y'all looking at it? Verse 27, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. And then it says this, watch this. Now, I don't know where we come up with all these other instructions that we didn't got about all these other things that we're supposed to be and supposed to be doing. But it's very simple. If we go back to the beginning, to the origin, then you see that God really told us only five things to really do. It's only five things that we were told to do. Listen to what I'm saying. And God blessed him. The word bless in the Hebrew and Old Aramaic, that means to kneel. It don't mean to give you a bunch of stuff. That means to kneel, to get low. When he blessed him, he humbles you. A lot of times what God does for you should humble you. It shouldn't boast you. If it boasts you, I don't know if that was him. Kneel, he said. So God kneeled them. Kneel, like on your knees, kneel. He kneeled them. I don't want to get down right now because last time I got down, I lost it. He kneeled them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, that's one. Multiply, that's two. Three, replenish. Four, subdue it. Replenish the earth. Four, subdue it. And then five, have dominion over, and it don't matter, put anything after that. You have dominion over. Say, I have dominion over. Five things, and we're going to go to them again. He says, be fruitful. That means bear fruit. But trees don't struggle to bear fruit. They just do who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Be. Everybody say be. I ain't got time to fool you away. Come on. Say be fruitful. Multiply. Sound like witnessing to me.
Yeah.
And they said the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, did you use that word multiply again? Didn't they use that word? And increase, increase. Be fruitful. And multiply. So fruitful got to come first, though. You got to show some fruit for those multiplications. But then when the fruit and the multiplication happens, there's something else you should do. You should replenish. When witnessing, I want to say this real quick. When witnessing, you're doing somebody an injustice by just telling them something and not giving them something. What you dealing with? What's your ailment? What's going on in your family? I should be able to touch you and you be healed.
Amen.
I should be able to speak a word and your child at home that ain't even there with you gets healed or gets delivered. If thou canst believe, fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. The word subdue is two words, do and sub. Sub means under, and do means what something owes something. So the thing that's under you gives you what you deserve. When you subdue the earth gives you what's due to you. Sounds like planting to me. You put the seed in the ground, it gives you what's due. You put the seed to give you fruit, be fruitful. And have dominion. Now, I gotta go quick. Where Adam and Eve got in trouble is they let the serpent say, you're gonna be just like God. Right? Two problems here. Number one, you was already like God. Right? But then God didn't even tell you to be like him. All he told you, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Right? Why God didn't say, hey, be like me? I just told you. Why God don't have to say the phrase, hey, Jeff, be like me? I just told you, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. These are things that God is doing all day long. Every day you wake up, you're replenished. You are the fruit from his seed. Are y'all understanding me? He's multiplying us daily. Listen to what I'm saying. This is my character. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion. Quick. I got a minute. Quick. Mark 16. Go. Mark 16. Real quick. I'm going to read it because I'm going to show you what it looked like. Because we like this scripture, but it got some things that go along with it. Mark 16, verse 15. We like this. Jesus is in the Mark. Jesus is leaving. So he's giving some last words to him and telling them what to do. And verse 15, he says, and go ye into all the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. We stop it down. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that. They ain't talking about the sign of the cross. These signs. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So you cannot go and preach the gospel without all these signs. Change lives. Change lives. Be changed. You see change. Amen. Amen. There's a commission. Sometimes we need to rehearse our commission. Rehearse our great commission. Rehearse what we're supposed to be doing, right? But you have to expect this of yourself. If you do not expect yourself to be walking here like Jesus, then you won't see it. When I begin to expect that from the inside of me, lives will begin to change, and they'll come to you and tell you what they saw. I'll say this because not only will you say things to people, but people are going to come start saying stuff to you, and you're going to send that in. I saw you and I heard you. And I heard what you were saying and I accepted him. If you're watching online and you never made Jesus Lord of your life,